It could be there was some time during the day today that you thought it's never going to stop raining. So it's good to notice it did stop raining for recognizing the way in which our mind sometimes projects things, like it's always going to be like this, and then kind of make yourself notice when it actually has changed, it's actually different. So some people had asked some questions about reading and writing, and what's the recommendation for retreat? So mostly the recommendation is to let go of reading and writing, just so you can be in your direct experience of what is true. And it's nothing wrong with reading or writing. Many of us have benefited very much from reading things, especially Dhamma books. And yeah, even for some, writing can be helpful practice. But sometimes if we spend time writing, like in a journal, we're kind of telling the story of ourself. Like, here's what I did, here's what I think, here's what I learned, and there's a lot of kind of reinforcing this story of me. Maybe as opposed to dropping into what is actually true about who this seems to be in this moment. So to facilitate letting go of the story, it can be good to let go of the writing. But really it's up to you. So if it's something that feels very important to you or very helpful, then yeah, you do it and try and stay aware while you're doing it. And then with reading, likewise, for many of us, we're very good at taking things in through the intellectual mind. So here we're trying to practice this different way of knowing with awareness, with mindfulness. So since you probably had spent already at least 10 or 15 years, the other kind of studying, of books, then yeah, why not spend the week studying this awareness? I know it's tempting because we're eating in the room with all the books all around, right? And they're so pretty and so much interesting information inside. Like, so much to learn, so. Yeah, likewise, you can see if you get pulled into that, then try to stay aware while you're doing that, if it's possible. But yeah, by and large, I'd say notice the drive or craving for information and then try to notice what that feels like and drop into awareness of life as it is without the thinking mind getting too stimulated. Including having tolerance for being bored. This is very good to not be afraid of being bored. So notice if the mind is reaching out for something more exciting. If there's a relationship to boredom that is of fear or running away, or like this, many animals, seeking out their environment, the reading animal, right? Intellectual animal, chasing pleasant intellectual experiences. So I was thinking, since we were speaking about animals this afternoon, sometimes it's a helpful image to appreciate and forgive yourself for the way in which we get lost in the mind, quite often. We get lost in our stories. So for humans, the senses of the six senses that are most compelling often is the field of thinking. And sometimes the field of seeing also is, but a lot of the field of thinking is very difficult for us to be aware that thinking is happening. Thought comes, and before we know it, we're on that thought train, already long down the tracks. But some of the other senses were a little bit better at being steady with. So, like sense of smell. Usually we can smell something and know that we're smelling it without having to chase that smell. For most humans, it's okay. But now for most dogs, it's not okay, you know? So particularly certain kinds of dogs, like beagles. I don't know if you have beagles here. Or hounds, they have scent dogs. You know, their job is to follow scents. And so even if you have them for a pet, I know people have had like a beagle for a pet, and if you let him out in the yard, you know, he's just supposed to like go to the bathroom, come back. But if he smells something, he's just like gone, you know. He'll like chase that smell for miles, just following that scent until, you know, maybe he has a little collar with the tag and then he can bring him back. But it's almost like beyond his control. It's like compelling when he smells something to have to follow that smell, right? So if we try to do meditation retreat with beagles, you know, everyone would have their own little cushion like this. But instead of when they think something, they would run away. Like they would smell something and they'd all run, you know. Like, and then suddenly they'd wake up and remember, like, oh, right, the meditation retreat. And then they would come back, sadly, feeling a bit bad, and then they'd plump back down again, maybe. Yeah. Breathing, sitting, breathing, and then smell something. All right, now, you know, come back, okay. So they do this again and again. So if you watched a group of beagles trying to meditate, you would have a lot of compassion for them. Like, it's funny, it's cute almost, right? They're trying their best to stay focused, but it's just so strong, the smell, it's so compelling, right? So maybe in this way we can also have some compassion for ourselves, forgiveness of ourselves in the way in which we get lost in thought, we get lost in story all the time, you know. In some ways it's no worse than the habit of the beagle to follow the scent. You know, we've had this habit, so we live in this delusion a lot of the time, but maybe we can have that same sense of kindness or even humor, love for ourselves. So there's a practice that is one that can help us to let go of the ways in which we might hold grudges against ourselves, against others. Now, sometimes this happens just as wisdom develops, that forgiveness can come about, but I would teach you just briefly this practice of forgiveness. So the premise behind this is that when we hold a grudge, or when we hold some blame against ourselves or against another, it doesn't actually help anything. You know, the main thing it does is just create tension in our own heart. So whether it's blaming yourself for getting lost a lot during the day, or for something you've done that has come up in your mind, or something someone else has done to you, if you're holding a grudge against them, they don't even know that's the case. Right? They might be going about their life quite happy. And your forgiving them doesn't mean it makes it okay what they did. Maybe what they did was quite harmful and unskillful. The best quote I've heard about forgiveness is that forgiveness is giving up all hope of a better past. So meaning, yeah, the past happened as it did. Maybe we can accept that, learn from that. If there's someone who has done harmful things, we can avoid them. That would be wise, skillful, perhaps. But the holding a grudge, the part that's about hating or not forgiving, is actually just harming ourselves. So what you can do, if you want to try, and you don't have to try it, but if you want to, is just take these few phrases of forgiveness in your heart, and what we're going to do is offer forgiveness to ourselves, offer forgiveness to someone else, and then ask for forgiveness for things we have done. And with each one, just drop it in the phrase and then let go of what seems to happen, not happen. Don't worry about that. So you can just bring the attention to the heart. So I'll say this one, and you can say it in English or in whatever language is your heart language, is most meaningful for you. If I have harmed anyone, intentionally or unintentionally, through thought, word, or action, I ask for forgiveness. If I have harmed anyone, intentionally or unintentionally, through thought, word, or action, I ask for forgiveness. If anyone has harmed me, intentionally or unintentionally, through thought, word, or action, I offer forgiveness as best I'm able. If anyone has harmed me, intentionally or unintentionally, through thought, word, or action, I offer forgiveness as best I can. And then finally, if I have harmed myself through thought, word, or action, intentionally or unintentionally, I forgive myself. If I have harmed myself through thought, word, or action, intentionally or unintentionally, I offer forgiveness to myself as best I can. We can rest back again with the practice of presence, of awareness. And don't worry about what seemed to happen or not happen from this. So just in a very relaxed way, connecting again, being aware of sitting. of hearing whatever else is showing up. sometimes people wonder with this forgiveness practice, what if I don't want to forgive someone? You know, what if I feel not ready to? So that's okay. Then just recognize that's what's here now. And I think a lot of our spiritual practice is knowing on some level what we hope would happen or where we would ideally be theoretically. But then, yeah, also recognizing with a lot of compassion where the heart is now and where we are now. So that's okay. Including if you're unable to forgive yourself, just recognize that's where you are now. But setting that intention in some ways, like wise view, that ideally the letting go of holding on to grudges is a wholesome thing for oneself and doesn't mean that you would not be able to protect yourself from harm. So also out of compassion with the reading and writing stuff, if you do decide to indulge in those activities, out of compassion for your fellow retreatants who might be addicts trying not to read or write, it's better if you could do that privately, so in your room or something like that. For some people it's not a big deal, but some people, like, it's really hard to not read or write on retreat. So if you allow them the conditions that will support them to not do that, then that's kindness, you could say. And yeah, at this point in the retreat also, it's very good to continue to pay attention to where the awareness might be not fully emerging. And particularly in the kind of activities that you'll be doing when you go back home. So from the time that you decide to get up from here and go to your room, brush your teeth, if you take a shower, do that, or wash your face, change your clothes. So that's the kind of thing that probably you'll do every night at home. So we'll see, like, oh, can I bring awareness to this? Like, what's it like in this activity? And yeah, just very gently bringing this sort of continuity, continuing with curiosity to be aware in this experience. And then all the way to even lying down in the bed, just being present with that. So as we can get used to bringing awareness to these activities, especially these ones that you don't really need to think about, then it's more likely when we go home and are busy that we'll be able to bring this kind of awareness to our daily life. So it might seem, you know, the bell rings and we come in here and this is like the real Dharma meditation, but I encourage you to consider now a special period, bell rings, going to bed meditation period. So equally valuable and interesting to practice with putting yourself to bed. So we can appreciate ourselves for another day of practice. It's a wholesome human activity. We made it through heavy rain. So thank you for your good efforts today, and I hope you rest well, and see you in the morning.